Let's stand and sing this evening. On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory it does fill. Oh, I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. City on Mount Zion.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in church again this evening. Good to be gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship Him in spirit and truth together. Good to see each one of you this evening. We had a testimony we wanted to share. Brother Furman had told me that Ethan had went to the eye doctor, I guess, the other day, and they told him and Sister April that his eyes are no longer crossing and there's no need for him to wear glasses. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is still an answerer of prayer, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Arnie, they had to amputate one of his toes on Tuesday due to infection, but he's doing well and in good spirits, and wanted me to thank you for your prayers during this time, and just want to continue to remember him in prayer for a speedy recovery. And a friend of Brother Jimmy's from Kentucky committed suicide this morning, so we want to please remember that gentleman's family in prayer. This is the Perkins family. And just want to lift them up in prayer during this time of loss. I'm sure that's hard any time to lose a loved one, but especially under those conditions. And Sister Faith Neighbor, she's in the hospital having some tests ran. They're going to keep her overnight. So I want to remember her in prayer. And how many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Now the Lord sees each one. Brother Buckles, would you come this evening and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come into your house. We come here, Lord, to meet you here. We come here to lift you up, Lord, by lifting one another up. And Father, we just love you with all my heart. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promises of God. Lord, and for your presence and for your strength that gives us strength and power to lift you up. Lord, that's what it's all about, is lifting you up and lifting one another up. Help us tonight, Lord, to learn more about you and to be attentive in our hearts to the Word of God. We love you with all my heart. And Lord Jesus, we want to love you more than we ever did. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, bless the sick and the suffering tonight. Those that has a need, Lord, your arm is not too short that you can reach out, Lord, and touch them. Your love is real excruciating, Lord, toward your people. You're so tender. We don't realize how tender you are toward your children. But Lord, the enemy likes to bring a barrier and doubt and fear in between. And we come against him tonight. And Lord, we give him license to go his way. We come here to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We ask you to bring your Holy Spirit of presence and power, Lord, here, that we might walk into it and lift up your name, Lord Jesus. Get in the spirit, Father, and Lord, be attentive to the thoughts of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we love you, Lord Jesus. Bless each one tonight, Lord. Just mellow our hearts and water that seed that's down in our hearts that we might grow, Lord, and be more like you. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I wanted to make some announcements before we move further into the service. we had planned on for the 4th of July meetings when Brother Donnie Reagan is going to be here preaching for us Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. We had planned on that Saturday afternoon having a pitch-in meal here on the church grounds, but unfortunately they won't be very happy if we're here on the church grounds by that date. So they want us to be out by June 30th. And so we've made some other arrangements to rent a gymnasium in Georgetown at that time for the pitch-in meal. And we'll be updating the website with some address information on that soon. And then also, as many of you know, we've been looking at the building and trying to get things to move forward with that, the church on Silver Street. And we've had some progress on that as well. We've been talking to several different banks and talked to a bank today and got them the information they needed. And they're going to start moving the process forward to try to get a pre-approval. Sister Christy had finished the building fund box. It's there in the back of the church by the books and things. So if you have something you want to give towards the building fund, you can put it in there. Or if you want to put it in an envelope and just check the building fund box. And we're going to need a place in the meantime. And so actually Brother Stephen and I have been discussing some different potential options. We talked about discussing with the man that owns quite a bit of property in this area about renting something short term, or we talked about renting a hotel banquet room or an auditorium or different things like that in the interim. And he happened to mention one day, well, I wonder if the church that we're purchasing, if they would rent the building to us. And so we contacted the realtors and asked them to move forward with that request to see if they'd be willing to do that. And they got back with us yesterday and said they would be willing to do that. And we've been trying to work out some of the terms and things in regards to that. And they told me today that we can move in Sunday if we want. So we're probably going to try to have that done. So keep an eye on the website over the next few days, because we may not be in this building next Sunday. We may be over there. So praise the Lord for providing something for us in the meantime. And if everything works out to move forward with the loan and we're pre-approved and all that and make them an offer, once we have a purchase agreement signed with them of the terms, it would take the building off the market to where no one could buy it until the complete approval and closing and everything is done. So just keep all those things in prayer. We're wanting to move forward with it with the help of the Lord, and we're excited to see some good news to give the church about this. And so I believe the Lord's got his hand in it. It'll be really nice. I was really not wanting to move everything to storage or to a banquet room or something like that and then having to move it all again. So the Lord's mindful of us, and we're excited about what he's doing. And so we'll try to keep you posted on that as quickly as possible if it looks like we'll be able to be in the building by then. If we're able to get the keys on Thursday or Friday, we'll probably need some help with moving and cleaning and things like that. So if you brothers are wanting to help with the cleaning, or not the cleaning, but the moving rather, if you could contact Brother Stephen or Brother Jimmy in regards to that, and if you sisters are wanting to help with the cleaning and things of the new building before we get in there, if you could contact Sister Christy about that, we'll try to get some things scheduled to move forward with getting in the building and getting it cleaned and all that. I'm supposed to meet with their pastor hopefully tomorrow if his schedule permits to go ahead and get everything agreed on upon the rental terms and get the keys and things like that. So I'm waiting to hear back from him on that. Also, for the pitch-in meal, it's a pitch-in, so that means you bring some food with you. And the church is going to provide a lot of the meat. But if you can bring side dishes or maybe some things like that, if you can contact Brother Luke and Sister Stephanie or Brother Joel and Sister Christy, they'll be kind of coordinating what's needed, and you know, so we don't have 20 people bringing mashed potatoes and 30 people bringing mac and cheese and not have anything else. So if you can coordinate with them in that regards, we'll be looking forward to it. And just want to praise the Lord for what he's been doing. It's been a very exciting the last 2 days to see the Lord just moving things forward rapidly for us. So we know he's got it all in control. Amen. Well, I had this song on my heart this week. I just felt led to sing it this evening. A lot of you probably know it by now, so if you want to help me sing it, that'd be fine. How many is thankful that the old man is dead? That you aren't that sinner that you used to be? Stop by and ask me
is dead. Wear those same clothes. singing, oh Jesus, hold my hand. Oh Lord, I need it every hour.
Aren't you thankful that he's holding to your hand tonight? Amen. God bless you richly. Let's pick up again here in Esther for such a time as this. And Esther chapter 4 verse 14, Mordecai speaking to Esther here. He says, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into the pages of your word again this evening, I ask that you just be in the service. I ask that you'd bless each one in divine presence, Father. Lord, maybe there's many needs that's represented. Maybe there's concerns in people's lives. Lord, maybe they have someone on their heart tonight, or maybe they're going through the middle of a decision or a trial or whatever it would be. Father, may you minister to those needs tonight, Lord, through the preaching of the word and through the quotes and the scriptures that will be read. Oh, Father, may you just come on the scene and do that which only you can do in a supernatural way. Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If you remember, we left off last week and we found that the law could not be changed. The decree had already went forth that the Jews were going to be killed on a certain day, but what was made was an atonement to the law so that the Jews could stand up and defend themselves during this time. The law of the Medes and Persians was that it changed not. So King Ahasuerus couldn't come around and say, well, I did this over here, but I'm going to change it and make it this. But what he could do was make an atonement or an amendment to the law to say that there was something else that could be placed in there for them to be able to protect themselves. In the same way that God, whenever he makes a decision, that decision is final. He can't come back and say, well, I was wrong over here, I'm going to change it over there. But what he does do is his grace provides an atonement for us, that even when we've gone beyond the bounds of the law, or when we've gone beyond the bounds and the realms of his judgment and things like that, his grace steps in and atones for us. I'm thankful for that day on Calvary, aren't you? Esther chapter 9 and verse 1. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. Oh, I just love that, don't you? It was supposed to be on this date and this time and this preordained, predetermined stage in their life that a decree had went forth that their enemies were hoping to have power over them, but it had turned to the contrary. Remember, Brother Bram talks about the laws of contrast, that there's a pro and a con, and for there to be a beautiful day, you know, for us to be able to appreciate a beautiful weather like we've been having and things like that, there has to be some rainy days like we had yesterday to kind of balance things out, to where, you know, if it was just always sunshine and roses, we wouldn't appreciate maybe the sunshine and the roses. If it was all just a flowery bed of ease, we would take it for granted. But when we've been down in a valley, and maybe you've been going through a trial for weeks or months or years, and you begin to crest the top of that mountain and you begin to realize, oh, my victory is mine, there's something about it. If you always lived up here in the clouds, you wouldn't appreciate it as much. But when you've been down in the valley, I know many of you, we live down in a valley, and you know, we get colds and bacteria and all kinds of things like that, and we go through the winter sometimes, and you spend half the winter with your nose stopped up and your ears stopped up and can't hardly hear anything, can't hardly breathe, and all of a sudden one day one of those ears begins to open up and you can hear again like you used to, and one of those nostrils begins to open up and you can breathe again like you used to, and you think, oh my, I never thought I appreciated having clean nostrils so much before. Having my sinuses opened up where I could breathe and not have to, you know, try to fight for every breath that I take. And that was something that you took for granted through maybe the summer and the fall. But, you know, come spring and winter, you begin to get allergies and things maybe if you suffer from them in this area. And when that begins to move back a little bit and you begin to realize I can breathe again, you begin to realize how much you appreciated it to begin with. But Brother Bram said for there to be a good woman and her to be truly appreciated, there had to be a bad woman. For there to be, be health, and us to be able to appreciate good health, there had to be times when we would go through sickness. For there to be a sunny day and us to appreciate that, there had to be times that we would go through darkness. But yet, all these things and these expectations and the fears that maybe they had, and they were facing this, that their enemies were going to overpower them. But now, God turns it around and says, it's looked bad for you for a long time, but I'm going to change the picture on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and it's supposed to be your destruction, but it's going to change and be your enemy's destruction instead. Brother Branham says it this way in The Mark of the Beast and the Seal of God, part 1 in 1961. He says, Satan, you can't hold them no more. They're God's children right now. I'm bringing that before you. I love it when he talks to the devil and challenges him. And sometimes that's a scary thing to do, but he knew where he was standing. He said, I'm bringing that before you. You have to take your hand off their life. They belong to God now. I claim them for him. I claim them as trophies of Christ's love at Calvary. I challenge you in a debate. You don't have any legal power. He said, you have no power over them. You didn't have it in the first place. You was only bluffing them. You was only bluffing. Oh my, he's got the devil in the corner already, first round. You was only bluffing them.
You was only bluffing. Christ stripped you of everything you had at Calvary. He stripped every power that you ever had, and you're nothing but a bluff, and we've called your bluff. These are children of God now. Oh, my. Do you realize that you're fighting a powerless enemy? That kind of makes things a little simpler, doesn't it? When you recognize that he doesn't have any power. And all this time, down through all the ages, he's huffed and he's puffed and he's made his challenges. But it was just empty boasts after that day on Calvary, because God came and he transcended himself down into a human body, and he paid the price, and he came back and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And Satan is powerless before the bride of Jesus Christ tonight. You say, oh my, Brother Nathan, aren't you scared to make a statement like that? No, Brother Branham said it. The Bible said it. Why shouldn't I be able to say it? Amen. He's powerless before us. The only thing he can do is when he goes and tugs on God's coat sleeve and says, can I have permission to do this? And can I have permission to do that? He is a powerless enemy. Oh my, and so this enemy that down through 6,000 years of men and women living on the earth, that he's made this challenge and that he's tried to take everything away from you. He's tried to come in and rob you of your victory. He's tried to come in and rob you of your joy. He's tried to tell you that he has power over this and power over that. I want to remind him tonight that he's a powerless enemy. And that God stripped him of every power that he ever had at Calvary. And he can make all these statements and he can make all these claims. But remember that he's a liar and the father of it. And every time he opens up his mouth, he can't help but tell a lie. So when he begins to tell you something, you might as well just realize it's just nothing but a lie. He'll come and tell you you're not worthy. He'll come and tell you you'll never make it, that you was never saved, that you never got the Holy Ghost, that you didn't get your healing, that somebody's got an issue with you, or that somebody didn't shake your hand because they have a problem with you. And he'll try to build all these fears and all these complexes and all these things. But you just remember tonight, he's powerless. Amen. And he's lying to you. And many times we get so defeated and so beat down and so afraid and so worried, and all he's doing is just sitting there telling us lies. You don't have to believe his lies. You don't have to accept his lies. Just as these were going to come and try to have power over the Jews, but God turned it to the contrary. Satan at one time had power over mankind, because there had been a gap that had been made between fellowship between God and man. And they would come and they would offer sacrifices, but Satan had power to say, that doesn't do away with the remembrance of sin. And that's not enough to, the blood of bulls and goats isn't enough to really fully cleanse you. And he could tell them all kinds of things and upset them. And he had power over this and that and death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus came and he paid the price. And now Satan is powerless. He doesn't even have the keys to his own house.
Right.
Oh my.
Amen.
Esther chapter 9 verse 2. The Jews gathered themselves together. Now I know we've been talking about this for a while, but there's something about when believers begin to gather themselves together. I'd rather stand and fight the enemy with other believers than have to try to stand and fight him by myself. And so they gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Now, I want you to notice that it wasn't the fear of God that fell upon the people. It wasn't the fear of King Ahasuerus that fell upon the people. But it was the fear of them that fell upon the people. Now, if they had met Mordecai walking down the street a few days ago, and here he was, Haman had it in his mind to take him and hang him on the gallows, or if they had ran into just some ordinary Jew walking down the street, and they would approach them in a way that they would think, oh my, your time is about up. And
and they would probably not be very respectful to them. They probably wouldn't think much of them if they shoved them out of the way and didn't do them any respect, or if they tried to do a dirty deal with them or something like that. They would just think, it's not nothing. It's not going to matter. They're going to be dead in a few days anyhow. But now the circumstances have begun to change, and the picture has turned, and now King Ahasuerus has sent out a decree, hey, if any man comes and tries to attack you, you don't have to just lay down and say, oh, well, I surrender. Just here, let me put my neck down on the chopping block and let's just go ahead and get it over with. He said, no, you have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to claim what is yours. Many times we get so defeated by the devil, and he comes in, he tries to tempt us, or he tries to lie to us. He tries to rob us of our victory. He tries to get us all upset because of circumstances in our lives, or he tries to have the doctor speak a sickness or disease into our lives. And instead of doing like Brother Branham said and not accepting that box of rattlesnakes, we just say, well, why don't you just go ahead? We're just going to lay our head down here on the chopping block and just go ahead, Satan. I guess do your worst. But I'm here tonight to tell you that you don't have to believe the devil's lie. You don't have to just give in and say, well, the doctor says I have cancer, or well, the doctor says I have this, or the doctor says I have that, so I guess I don't have much time to live. No, you have something that God has proclaimed in your life, that the word of God, when you place that between you and the enemy, maybe he's made boasts before, and maybe a few days before, maybe before you look at some of these quotes we're going to read tonight, maybe he would come and buffet you, and you would begin to get so upset and so disturbed, and he would think, oh, I've got him right where I want him, and I know what's going to become of him. But tonight, why don't we claim our God-given privileges, that you don't have to just accept what the enemy has for you, but why don't you stand up and fight for your God-given rights? They stood and gathered themselves together. Now, there's something about it. You know, if somebody meets you on the street and it's just you and there's six of them, you know, they feel like they can kind of shove you around. But if there's six of them and 40 of you, they're a little bit more polite. How do you do today? Good to see you. Oh, my, no, I didn't say that about you. No, no, my, I would never say that. There's something about it, that there's strength in numbers. And so now these Jews, that if they had been isolated to themselves and you know, staying at home and criticizing everybody else, when this uprising came, they would have just went into one house and ran that Jew through, and went into the next house and ran that Jew through, and over to the next house and got this one defeated with that, and this one defeated with that, and on and on and on. But when they stood together and they gathered themselves together, their enemy had to recognize there's something that we better be careful. Something going on here that we can't go in. There's 40 of them and three of us. We better not go in and try to do this. Brother Branham says it this way. I love finding these little nuggets from the, you know, 40s and 50s. He says, "In faith is the substance." In 1951, he said, "And that's the sole purpose of my ministry, is to see God's church welded together." See, don't make any difference what the other one believes. That's all right. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are a Christian. Amen. Many times we look at somebody and we want to interview them. You know, what church do you go to, and what do you believe about this doctrine, and are you of this group or of that group, and what do you believe about this, and what do you believe on this doctrine, and what do you believe on this certain area, what do you believe on this certain person, what do you believe, and we go through our checklist to make sure whether we can fellowship with them or not. But Brother Branham said, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're a Christian. Our only question should be, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh my, there's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. If you aren't tonight, why don't you come be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Amen. And if they are, you know, there may be people around this message even that maybe they don't see things the way we do. Maybe they don't agree with things the exact same way that we do. But if they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, if they've had a change in their life and filled with the Spirit of God, Brother Branham said it this way. I believe it's in Thirsting for Life. He said that if God gave you the Holy Ghost in your peculiar way, and he came and gave me the Holy Ghost in my peculiar way, he said, then God proved that he's ignoring your doctrine.
Now, that doesn't preach very well in a lot of message churches because we get so caught up on doctrine that if you don't see it just exactly the way that Brother So-and-so teaches it, you're thrown out. But Brother Branham didn't say, my sole purpose is to get everybody to see a specific doctrine the way that I see it. He said, my sole purpose of my ministry is to see God's church welded together. Now, I know that gets me in trouble, and I know there's people that hate me because of brothers I fellowship or because of brothers that I have come and preach for us, but you know what? I'm trying to follow the example that the prophet of God set for us. And he didn't say divide and divide, and if this brother doesn't, you know, believe that you should, you know, wear your sleeves this long, or if he believes that, you know, you shouldn't do this a certain way, or you shouldn't spit on this side of the sidewalk, then disfellowship him. He said draw the circle bigger. Amen. Oh my, I've heard some people say, well, I'll draw the circle bigger as long as you agree with me. That's not what he said. That's kind of adding to and taking away a little bit. Esther chapter 9 verse 3, and all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Now we find that these very men that were getting ready to march this man to the gallows a few days before, these very men that would have been considered his enemies a few days before, and that were going to carry out the king's proclamation to go and destroy all the Jews, now the fear, not just of the people, not just of the king, not just of God, but the fear of one man named Mordecai that was a humble little Jew that lived down in Babylon in captivity, the fear of this man has fell upon him so much that now the king's lieutenants and his deputies and his officers from all his provinces, they step in and say, you know what, the king sent out a new decree, and you know, he's made an atonement for these people, and who are we to sit by and see these other people out here that are still under the influence of Haman going about and trying to destroy them? We're going to stand for what's right, and we're going to stand for the people of God. And they begin to fight for the Jews instead of against the Jews. God has a way of coming in on the scene, sometimes at the very last minute. Sometimes it seems like, Lord, how on earth is this going to happen? How on earth can these things be? I imagine Jonah in the belly of the whale, he felt like his time was probably up. He felt like, here I've ran from God, and here I'm swallowed by a fish in the belly of it down at the bottom of the sea. And he probably was getting a little claustrophobic about that time with all the pressures of the waters around him and the coldness down there in the depth. And here he sits, and Brother Bram said, if he looked this way, it was whale's belly. And he looked up, it was whale's belly. If he looked over here, it was whale's belly. If he looked down, it was whale's belly. Everywhere he went. My wife and I went with Brother Daniel and Sister Ashley to St. Louis a few months ago, and we'd never been up in the arch. And if you've ever been in the arch, they put five people in a compartment about the size of this pulpit and send you up. And there's not windows and curtains and a lot of ventilation. You see metal wall and more metal wall and metal wall. And then, oh, look, there's a little opening and there's a staircase and a tool bench and more metal wall and more metal wall and more metal wall. And I kind of enjoyed it because my wife's really claustrophobic. So I was kind of like, you know, she was sweating a little bit up in there, not really enjoying it. But that wouldn't be anything compared to whale's belly. Although I did think myself, if whatever is pulling this, whatever machine goes out, it's going to be a long time before somebody can crawl up all these steps and get to us when we're wedged in between metal wall and metal wall. But he was whale's belly. Whale's belly, whale's belly, whale's belly, everywhere he looked. But God still came on the scene. Amen. Brother Bram said, I don't think anybody has his symptoms tonight. Lazarus was dead in the grave 4 days and his spirit had wandered somewhere else. And I don't think anybody here has his symptoms. If you are, we'd be smelling you by now. Even his sister said, Lord, don't open that tomb. Don't roll that stone away. By now he stinketh. But he spoke, and a man dead 4 days. It seemed like it was too late for Lazarus, if it was too late for anybody. And he stepped up there and he said, Lazarus! Right. He cried with a loud voice. I know that'd scare a lot of message people. But it said he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And a man dead 4 days said, what did you need, Jesus? Oh, my. Jesus Christ the same, 1958, he said, if it's in the belly of a whale, or if it's in a lion's den, or if it's on a bed with cancer, or if it's laying yonder bleeding to death in an automobile accident, the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, And he didn't say it was just for the prophet of the age or just for your pastor or just for the deacons. But he said, and the weakest Christian can use it. It's your God-given privilege to do it. Oh, don't let Satan beat you up tonight. It's your God-given privilege to put the word of God into effect in your life. He says again, God's covenant with Abraham, 1956, and the weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, under any conditions, with thus saith the Lord. That's right. You just believe it. God said so. Amen. Now, maybe you're in that boat tonight. Maybe you're sitting here, maybe you came in defeated and you feel like Satan's been just on your back all week and everything's gone wrong and you've had trials and you've had tests and you've had tribulations and you came into church feeling about this high and you feel like you're the weakest Christian in the building. There's hope for you tonight. Because the weakest Christian in here, he didn't say just the most powerful minister in the message or just these 10 men or just the deacon board or the trustees board. He said the weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, under any conditions. You know what? I'm just going to give somebody a heart attack tonight. I'm not going to let that thing choke me anymore. It's Wednesday night. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. The weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, anytime, under any conditions, that's thus saith the Lord. That's right, you just believe it, God said so. Now, can you imagine me, untrained, out of shape, sitting at a pastor's desk for the last few months, not getting as much exercise as I should, and I would go and step into the ring with a middleweight fighter, and or maybe you say, you know, Brother Nathan, you'd be a heavyweight, whatever you want to put me in, whatever rank. And I would step into the ring, and I would say, I haven't had any training. I don't have any ability. I don't hardly know how to put on these boxing gloves, but I'm going to roll up my sleeves tonight and I'm going to get in the ring. And if I was a betting man, I would put my money on me. You'd say, oh, he's crazy. But what if the man I was fighting was in a coma? Would you bet on me then? If you were, not that we would bet, but if you were a betting man, we're not promoting that. Brother, I don't want to point you out tonight, but Brother David Virgin recommended when we were looking for the loans for the building, he said, why don't you call One Southern Indiana, the Indiana Commerce, and see if they could give us some help. And so what we do have is there's a grant that a lot of churches accept that is, it's a lot of money, and a lot of churches that are trying to get a loan like you do, they accept this grant, and it's called the Horseshoe Grant. And I said, Horseshoe Grant, as in the casino? And they said, oh yes, well, the money does come from the casino, but a lot of churches accept it. And I said, no, I don't think we would be comfortable with accepting money from Horseshoe Casino. I believe God will provide another way. Oh my. So we're not betting tonight. But you would have a little more confidence in me if the guy they rolled out and they said, in the left corner, weighing 97 pounds, a man on oxygen and with a trachea down his throat and an IV on his arm and he's not even conscious, but he used to be the heavyweight champion of the world, and over in the left corner, Nathan Bryant, weighing we won't say how much, and in the blue shirt, you might say, well, that guy used to be the heavyweight champion of the world, but right now he don't look like he's barely breathing. How is it that the weakest Christian could stand against a demon, a spirit? Brother Branham said he was a man as well. He was a man of worldly wisdom, he said. How could you, as the weakest Christian, stand and face a being that has defeated archangels, that backslid and left and went out of heaven with him? A man that was able to convince our father and mother, Adam and Eve, to leave the garden because of sin of the flesh. A man that was able to convince a disciple that walked right with Jesus arm in arm for 3.5 years and saw the dead raised. You say, oh, there's just not enough vindication. That's why people are leaving. No, Judas saw all the vindication you could imagine. Amen. And he still walked away and left because there was nothing in him to believe. And a being that could convince this man that had seen the dead raised and the crippled walk and the lepers cleansed and the epileptics come out of their epileptic fits and never have one again, if he could convince him to walk away, how are you going to have a chance going up against this being tonight, the weakest Christian in the building? It's because he's already been defeated.
Amen.
You don't have to defeat him on your own. He's already been defeated.
Thank you, Lord.
He went round after round, thousands of years after thousands of years. And Brother Branham said it this way. He said, when he killed Daniel, he said, oh, I got him now. And when he killed David, he said, oh, I got him now. When he killed Solomon, all these down through. And then when they laid Jesus in the grave, he said, oh, my, I really got him now.
Right.
But on that third day,
hallelujah.
When the stone rolled away,
yes, sir.
And the soldiers sat there trembling because the earth shook, and a stone that they had chained and sealed with the governor's seal that said this cannot be opened, it began to roll back on its own, and a man that had been in the grave began to step out through that wall. There was something about it that they had went maybe round after round after round through the thousands of centuries. But Satan was defeated. And on his way back up, Brother Branham dramatized it. He said he kicked in the doors to hell and he grabbed the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he kicked the devil back in there, and he came on up through all the realms and all that, and he stands now a defeated enemy,
right.
Powerless without the keys to his own home. How can you defeat him tonight? He's already defeated. It would be less of a fight than me and the guy with pneumonia. Or not pneumonia, but out unconscious. It would be less than a fight than that. Because at least he's still got some breath in his body. But he's defeated. He doesn't even own his own home anymore. The keys to death, hell, and the grave are dangling on the side of Jesus Christ. And he turned and gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. Said, here you go. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And when the weakest Christian begins to go to their knees, and maybe you're facing trials and you think, oh, Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know these things. You know my fears. You know my faults. You know all these things. And you go down and maybe you're trembling. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you don't know what the answer is going to be. But if you think you're trembling, you ought to see the other side of the picture.
Amen.
Brother Branham said the weakest Christian can defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, under any condition, with thus saith the Lord. So when that weakest Christian begins to fall to his knee, he thought that he had power over you, but he recognizes that not because of your power or your authority or your muscles, no more than it would be me trying to fight a prize fighter, but because that he's already been defeated, he realizes that when you begin to try to touch the throne of heaven, that something's going to take place. Oh, no wonder he hates us. The Church Age book, page 16, he said, yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it.
Right.
With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. What are you afraid of tonight? What are you afraid of tonight? We're fighting a defeated enemy.
Amen.
Esther chapter 9, verse 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. You notice Haman's sin didn't just affect himself, but it begins to affect his family as well, the atmosphere that they've been in. The 10 sons of Haman. And what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Now, he's giving Esther a report. There's been 500 men killed just in Shushan the palace that the Jews have raised up and begin to destroy their enemies. And the 10 sons of Haman have been killed. And if that's happened just in Shushan, what about all these other hundreds of provinces? What has been done? And then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also, according unto this day's decree. And let Haman send 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. Now, did I read that right? Because I thought just a few verses back it said that the sons of Haman, the 10 sons of Haman, had already been killed by the Jews. But you see, it's not just enough sometimes to kill that devil that's been tormenting you, but sometimes you got to hang his hide out to dry a little bit. And Esther wanted to make an example that, look, this isn't just a playing around thing, but these men have already been killed. Now let's take their carcasses and hang them up before the people to show them what happens when you begin to come against God's people. Oh, I hope tonight, whatever demon has been fighting you, maybe you've been fighting all kinds of addictions, maybe you've been fighting a complex, maybe you've been fighting depression, maybe you've been fighting Satan trying to rob you of your joy or your victory or tell you you don't have the Holy Ghost or you're not saved, or maybe he's been trying to tempt you back to cigarettes or alcohol or pornography or whatever you came out of. I hope tonight that you don't just kill that devil, but that we can hang his carcass up for a while for the world to see this is a defeated enemy. I told Brother Jimmy before church tonight, I said, if I start shouting tonight, you just get out of my way. Don't try to stop me. Don't get in my way. There was a story told one time about a man named Shoutin' John. And Shoutin' John began to go to an old dead church where they didn't believe in shouting or speaking in tongues or dancing. And Shoutin' John would get in church, and he'd begin to feel the Spirit move, and his arms would begin to move, and his legs would begin to move, and he'd begin to shout and scream and speak in tongues and dance. And the deacons decided, you know what, if we can't keep old John from shouting and speaking in tongues and dancing, we're just going to go out to his farm. Now, he was an 86-year-old man, and they got out there to his farm, and he was behind a mule plowing in the field, 86 years old. And he told him, he said, now, deacons, he said, I know what you've come out here to tell me. I know that in your old dead church that I joined, you don't want me to shout or to dance or to speak in tongues anymore. But he said, I want you to look out at this property that you walked up through here to see me. And he said, God gave me all this property, but you don't want me to shout. And he said, I want you to look up at my house over there. I've got a wife and children that I've never had to go to a funeral home to see them be packed away. And he said, but yet you don't want me to dance. And he said, here I am 86 years old, but I'm standing behind this mule still plowing, and yet you don't want to speak in tongues. He said, just hold my mule. I'm going to shout right now.
Amen.
So hold my mule for me tonight, Brother Layton.
Come on.
Oh my, let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it be done. And the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Verse 16. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives. Let me tell you tonight, it's time that the bride of Jesus Christ gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, because it's getting to a condition. People are attacking the message. All kinds of sin and perversion is coming in, and people tell me, I better be careful the way I preach sometimes. I'm going to wind up getting in trouble. Well, Brother Branham preached all kinds of things about the Catholic Church and about President Kennedy and all these things. There he was sitting in office, and you think, oh my, how did he preach Christianity versus idolatry with a Catholic president in the White House? Because he was a man of God. And all these things that are coming, beginning, you pick up a newspaper or you go online and read a news website, and they begin to tell you all these things that are going on, and all the new rules and regulations and things that they're trying to pass. I don't want to try to stand in this wicked age by myself. But it's time that the bride of Jesus Christ gathered themselves together and stood for their lives. Oh, there's brothers that maybe if we sat down and talked for 3 hours, we wouldn't agree on everything side by side and line by line and jot by jot and all that. And there might be something I think, well, he leans a little bit this way, I lean a little bit this way, but maybe we can find a balance in the middle of the road, whatever it would be. But if a man of God wants to stand and fight the devil with me, I'll stand and fight the devil with him anytime, any place, anywhere, because I'm not going to fight against my brothers, but I will fight the devil with them. Oh my, they gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hand on the prey. On the 13th day of the month of Adar and on the 14th day of the same rested they and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were in Shushan assembled them together on the 13th day thereof and on the 14th thereof and on the 15th day of the same they rested and made it a day of gladness, or sorry, of feasting and gladness. Oh my, there they are assembling themselves together again. They must have just liked getting together and fighting the enemy.
Amen.
There's something about it. I like to come to church on Wednesday night and fight the enemy. You know, it's not, we don't just have Sunday morning church, but we've got Sunday night and Wednesday night too. And I like to come and fight the enemy with my brothers and sisters. There's something about it. I like the smell of burnt devil hide. I just love that. There's nothing better than the smell of burnt devil hide in the morning. They assembled themselves together. Now, you notice it looks like it's repeating itself here that there was one group outside of Shushan on the 13th day of the month, and on the 14th day they rested and made a feast day. But in Shushan, they were assembled together on the 13th day, but on the 14th and the 15th day of the same month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. So we recognize there was two different groups of people here, and one entered into rest a little bit earlier than the rest of them did, but they all entered into rest. We find out that that's the way it is with the bride of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've got an aunt or an uncle or a mother or a father or grandparent or whatever it would be, that they've already entered across the curtain of time, and they're getting their rest a little bit earlier than we are. They've been over there and we're still down here fighting the devil, and it may not seem fair. Oh my, maybe you've got a spouse or maybe you've got a child or whatever would be waiting for you over there. But just because they've entered into their rest doesn't mean that we're not going to have our day of rest. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." So they might be resting already, but we're going to enter into rest with them one of these days. We're not going to prevent them, and they're not going to prevent us, but we shall be changed. What are you waiting on, Brother Nathan? Are you waiting on this brother to do this or this pastor to do that? Or are you waiting on more to be revealed? Or are you waiting for this to happen or for that to happen? I'm waiting on my change. I'm waiting until one day I'm taking a step and I, you know, maybe feeling downtrodden and discouraged. Maybe I'll have more white hair by then if the Lord tarries, and maybe stoop-shouldered, maybe discouraged. And I just begin to take one step. And when I take that next step, well, that hand doesn't have as many wrinkles as it used to. And this arm doesn't have scars, and this doesn't have this, and this doesn't have that, and recognize what took place. A change. Because Brother Raymond said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, we've received the earnest or the down payment of that. But this guy here hasn't received it yet. Oh, but one of these days we shall be changed. Amen. Esther chapter 9, verse 20. "And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly as the day wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor." Oh, I know there's some people around the message don't believe in giving any type of gifts, birthday gifts or Christmas gifts or whatever, but they would have had a hard time celebrating Purim, wouldn't they have? Sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. Oh my, you realize that God has already did this to you, what they're talking about here. Amen. David said in Psalm chapter 30 verse 11, "Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." Maybe you don't feel that way tonight. Maybe you came in downtrodden and with your lip dragging the floor because you're just so discouraged. But God has come to turn your mourning into dancing. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody mourn and seen somebody dance, but there's a difference. And a lot of Christians, they look like they're more on the mourning side than the dancing side. But God came to turn our mourning into dancing. Oh, why were they celebrating this? Verse 24, "Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them." Remember, he went and he cast lots, and the type of lot that he cast was called pur, and he did that to pick the specific date to where the Jews would be destroyed. But God turned the situation around. Instead of the Jews being destroyed, it was their enemies that were destroyed. So verse 26 says, "Wherefore they called these days Purim after after the name of Pur. Therefore, all the words of this letter and that which they had seen concerning this matter, which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. Now they begin to do this, and it began to be a celebration. I heard a story one time, I don't know if it's true or not, but they said that there was a man in the days of Hitler, there was a Jewish man, and we're going to look at a little bit of history tonight real quick before we close, just to see how history repeats itself. But they said, there's a story that's told that said there was a man that was a Jew in the days of Hitler, and when Hitler first stood up and said that they were going to destroy all the Jews, this Jewish man just began to laugh in the audience, and they said, Hitler said, what is that man doing back there? Why are you laughing when I'm just decreed that I'm going to destroy you and all your people? He said, well, there was a man like you one time in the Bible days, and he had made a similar decree. And when we went out of bondage, we had a meal, and we called it the Passover. There's something about God's people that they like to eat. I told Brother Stephen today, I said, with all the church growth that we've seen and the tabernacle has seen, all these churches are seeing growth, I said, my, we are just helping the economy of these restaurants around this area so much, because Christians like to get together in fellowship. And there's something about fellowship. We like to be eating while we fellowship. I don't know what it is, but I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And so when they went out of Egypt, they had a meal and they called it the Passover, and they would separate it every year. And he said, then there was another man one time raised up by the name of Haman and said he was going to destroy all of God's people. And he said, when he was destroyed, we had a celebration and a feast day, and we called it Purim. He said, I'm just wondering what this next feast day is going to be. Dr. Moses, 1955, Brother Bram says, the cycle of time swings back ever so often. History repeats itself, and Scripture repeats itself down through the age. Any scholar knows that's ever studied it from a spiritual standpoint, to watch how Scripture will repeat itself, run in cycles like that. It certainly does. So many times we see history repeating itself, and different things in the Scriptures and in history that come around and repeat itself. And as I was studying at the beginning of this series, the very first sermon I preached, I found some historical facts that I've been holding back for months now. And it's just been about to drive me crazy, because I knew that this was the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. But we find out that Purim, this was not just celebrated in Bible days, but they still celebrate it today. And it's a festival, and they eat and all these different things, the gifts and things like it said. And so when Adolf Hitler began to come into his reign, he's in November the 10th of 1938, he banned and forbade the observance of Purim in a speech that he made. So here he comes and he tells that the Jews can't celebrate Purim anymore. And the Nazis would actually plan many of their attacks on the Jews, coordinated with the Jewish festivals of Purim and the Passover and Palm Sunday, or I guess they don't celebrate Palm Sunday, but Pentecost, or not, they don't celebrate Pentecost either. What is it there right before the Passover and different ones that they celebrate during certain times of the year, that he would plan his attacks around those things. And he even began to get so bold that in a speech that he made on January the 30th of 1944, it says, in an apparent connection made by Hitler between his Nazi regime and the role of Haman, he stated in a speech made on January 30th, 1944, that if the Nazis were defeated, the Jews could celebrate a second Purim. And indeed, Julius Streicher was heard to sarcastically remark, Purim Fest 1946, as he ascended the scaffold after Nuremberg. Now, for those of you that may be too young or haven't studied enough to remember, after World War II, they had the Nuremberg trials, which was to put those war criminals in the Third Reich there, those that were part of the SS and different ones, that they had come and did a lot of the murders and things in the gas chambers, and they were instrumental behind a lot of the literature and stuff that went out against the Jews. They had a trial and they decided, would these men receive life in prison? Would they receive death? What type of death would they receive? And Julius Streicher was one of the main characters in the Nuremberg trials there that they wound up sentencing to death. And they built a scaffold for him in Nuremberg to hang these war criminals of the Nazi regime on. And as he's going up the steps here to be hanged on a scaffold, he remarks that it's Purimfest 1946. Why? Because the Jews were avenging their enemies once again. And then, I just like these little nuggets and things that, you know, you think, my, it's almost too good to be true. You couldn't make that stuff up. Joseph Stalin was suddenly paralyzed on March 1st, 1943, which corresponds to Purim 1943, and died 4 days later. I don't think these things are coincidences. I believe God's doing just exactly what he's supposed to be doing, and his time clock moves exactly right. And I believe that he allows things to happen sometimes, so that we can recognize spiritual types in the scripture. Amen. And see that, here God did this over here, and now he's doing it again over here. And we know that can't just be by accident. It can't just be something that happened by coincidence. But God's word is moving on. You know, he repeated history again in this age. There was a sign of the Son of Man that he gave to the Jews and to the Samaritans 2,000 years ago. And in this age, he repeated that again. History repeated itself in the life of a humble Kentuckian prophet that came and preached the word of God. And that same sign of the Son of Man was performed before the Gentiles. History repeated itself. And by the grace of God, we have eyes to look and recognize it, just like we're able to recognize some of these facts of things that happened around historically about the Jews being persecuted again. And it corresponds responding with Purim once again. We have eyes to be able to look and to see that God repeated history once again for his bride. Brother Bram says it this way in the Patriarch Abraham 1964. If the musicians would come, I'll try to close. He says, give them faith to let them know that the enemy is defeated. Give them faith to let them know that the enemy is defeated. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if Satan does this or what if Satan does that? He's already defeated.
Amen.
It's a finished work at Calvary. You say, oh, but I don't know if I can do this and I don't know if I can do that. There's nothing that you have to do except just accept what he's already did for you.
Amen.
You don't have to go out and try to defeat the devil on your own. He's already defeated. And the weakest Christian, if they'll just apply that word of God to their lives, Brother Branham said it'll defeat him anytime, any place, anywhere, under any condition. Why? Because the enemy's already defeated. Amen. But if you're struggling with that tonight, and it seems like you can't wrap your mind around it, just remember, 1964, the patriarch Abraham, he said, give them faith to let them know that the enemy is defeated. Not that he will be defeated, not that he was defeated, but he got back up for round 15. He is defeated.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Amen. Because he's defeated, and because Jesus Christ already paid the price, we can sing this tonight. Oh, it's already done. Oh Lord, we praise your name. My battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. How is it, Brother Nathan? Because it's a defeated enemy. Oh, so it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. It's already done. We praise. Oh, my victory is won. It's already done. You say you just don't know what I've been going through, Brother Nathan. Oh, but I know it's already done. He already paid the price. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Oh, and we praise his name. This battle is over. Victory. Maybe you've been going through trials and temptations and persecution, but I shall overcome.
Oh, hallelujah, I shall overcome, and I'll praise His name. My battle is over. Oh, it's already done. Oh, but my family's backslid, Brother Nathan. Oh, my family is sealed. Why don't you apply the token tonight? Oh, your family is sealed. We praise His name. Oh, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, but Satan's tried to lie to me and tell me I've got all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Oh, but you're already healed. Oh, hallelujah. By your stripes. Oh, yes. He paid it 2,000 years ago. That battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, if you're sick in body tonight, why don't you just stand up and accept your healing? He already paid the price, so it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, but the doctor said this, but it's already done. We praise His name. Oh, these battles are over. This victory is won. It's already done. He's a defeated enemy. Boo, devil. The bride knows that it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Father, this battle is over. Victory is won. Satan will try to lie to you and say, no, you didn't get your healing tonight. You just tell him you're a liar, devil. Oh, because I'm already healed. Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago. Oh, I'm already healed. So I praise His name. This battle is over. Victory. Maybe you've been in the valley of despair this week. Maybe Satan spots you. But tell him, I shall overcome. Satan, I shall overcome. And I'll praise my Jesus' name. Oh, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Oh, let's just pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we accept what You've already done for us. Lord, we accept tonight. And we'd just like to remind the devil tonight that he's a defeated enemy. We'd like to remind him tonight that You took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him. We'd like to remind him tonight that You paid the price for sin and for sickness, and that You robbed him of every right that he had when You died on Calvary. We'd like to remind him tonight that he's already defeated, that he's a powerless enemy, and that he can't do anything unless he comes and asks You for permission. Oh, we'd like to remind him tonight that You already paid the price for us, and that he'd like to lie to us and tell us that we have to do all kinds of things to deserve it and that we'll never be worthy. But it's a finished work. It's not something that You're waiting on us to do, Father. It's something that You've already done that we just have to accept. Help us tonight, Father, to recognize His lies. Maybe He's lied to us all of our life and tried to tell us all kinds of things. Maybe He's tried to make us insecure and give us complexes to think that our brothers or our sisters are against us. Maybe He's tried to keep us so depressed and discouraged that we couldn't walk in the victory that You want us to walk, Lord. But may we remind Him again tonight that He's a defeated enemy. That You came out of the grave a mighty conqueror. You didn't come out and make a truce. You didn't come out and have a tie with Him, but You were the conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, Father, we thank You tonight. Give us strength to recognize who we are and to recognize, Lord, the things that You've left for us, and to recognize our rights as Christians, our rights as the bride of Jesus Christ. Help us not to live below those rights anymore, Father, but help us to stand together
Lord, with our brothers and sisters. Maybe they go to different churches. Maybe they're from different areas. Let us stand arm in arm with them, Father, and fight the enemy, because he's a liar and the father of it. He wants to get us to turn against each other and fight one another. But your prophet told us if he gets us fighting one another, all he has to do is just sit back and watch and laugh and make fun of us. But help us, Father, by your word, to expose him tonight for what he really is. He's a liar. He's a phony. He's a bluff. He's already been defeated. Satan, we claim these rights as God's children. We claim these rights as the bride of Jesus Christ, and we don't have to live in fear of you anymore. We don't have to live in fear of what you might do, or that you may overpower us, because we recognize tonight that your prophet told us that if we have revelation, you don't have power over us, but we have power over you.
Amen.
And that when that weakest Christian begins to fall to their knees and to place the word of God upon their lips, and that's the same as deity speaking, every mountain has to move. Every demon has to flee, because it's not us that said it in the first place, Father, but it's you that said it. It's you that conquered him. It's you that was victorious. Help us to accept it tonight, Father. Give us strength, Father. When Satan tries to come at us this week and lie to us, help us to remind him that he's a defeated enemy. Lord, give us victory, we pray, in our lives. Give us joy. Give us strength over the things the enemy would try to come and lie to us about. We love you, Father, tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, it's already done. I know it's already done. Oh, the battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Let's sing it this way again. Oh, I'm already here. Whatever you're facing tonight, oh, I'm already here. Say, the doctor said I can't be. Oh, but that battle is over. Friends, the victory is won. It's already done. One more time together. Oh, it's already done. Yes, Father, I'll pray. Deliverance tonight, Father, we pray. Jesus Christ. Oh, my, I can testify of this tonight. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Church, I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance?
sing it this way tonight. Oh, if you don't want to praise, don't hinder me. Oh, friend, if you don't want to praise, don't hinder me. Oh, I'm gonna praise Him in the morning, gonna praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Maybe you don't feel like it tonight. Oh, but if you don't want to praise, don't hinder me. About what God's done. Has He done something in your life? Is it better than a football or a basketball or a baseball, what He's done for you? Many times we get excited about things in the world, but can you get excited tonight about what Jesus Christ did for you? Oh, yes, let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, I feel like praise. Oh, we want to praise You tonight, Father. Oh, yes, I feel like praising Him. Oh, yes, I want to praise Him in the morning. Gonna praise Him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Brother Bram said that man got out there, and he said he got so excited at that ball game, he grabbed that man's hat in front of him and just pulled it right down over his ears. Straw hat, just pulled the whole rim and everything down over his ears. He said he was a baseball fiend. He was getting excited about what he was doing. He said he was getting in the spirit of what he was doing. And people, they go out here to dances and they act like they're demon-possessed and might do all kinds of things and present their body in ways that they shouldn't. But what are they doing? They're getting in the spirit of what they're doing. Sometimes we come to church and I feel like praising Him. Oh my. But if you had a bonus check that came tomorrow in the mail that you weren't expecting, I bet you'd be out there, oh, I feel like praising. Dancing around the mailbox, waving that letter around. Amen. He's given you more than a bonus tonight. Amen. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. I feel like praising Him. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it again together. Oh, I feel like praising Him. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, I feel like praising Him. Oh, I want to praise Him in the morning. Gonna praise Him all day long. Oh, yes, I feel.
turning back. I won't turn back. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't. I won't turn back. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. It satisfies. It satisfies. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world. But give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world. But give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have started.